Welcome. Happy Sunday. Welcome to a new episode of Discovering Your Empowered Woman, a show where we learn from successful women about life, health, motherhood, career, wealth, and business. I'm your host, Laura Oldacre. Hey, how is your Sunday morning going? Have you had your little coffee yet? Because I've already had my little cappuccino. I have my really nice espresso machine that I think I would die without. And I just absolutely love my morning coffee. I've already had a couple of them. So happy Sunday morning. I want to remind you to follow us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram at Discovering Your Empowered Woman, so that you can re-listen to this show, and you can listen to, or you can follow us and learn more tips and techniques on how to empower yourself. I want to remind you that women's empowerment refers to the ability for women to enjoy their right to control and benefit from their resources, assets, income in their own time, as well as the ability to manage risk, improve their economic status, build wealth, and just do better every day, continue to build their well-being. That is what we strive for, and that's what we promote at Discovering Your Empowered Woman. That is what we want you to become through learning and hearing about the stories of these wonderful women that are going to be joining us every week. So before we get started, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Academy for Caregiving Excellence, which trains our essential healthcare workers, for sponsoring this program and for allowing us to share information and everything that we're going to be sharing. So if you want to learn more about Academy for Caregiving Excellence, go to the website academyforcaregiving.com, or you can also reach them by phone at 520-338-4402. Our guest this morning is, we're just going to jump right in. Our guest this morning is a very, very special leader in our community. She has a very extensive bio, but I'm going to actually let her talk about all of the special things in her life. I'm just going to mention a couple of them. I want to say that she's a very, very dear friend of mine. We've known each other for over 25 years. And I'm just proud to be considered her friend, and I'm proud to see all of the accomplishments that she has achieved in the last few years, and then excited for what else is to come. So by day, she wears her University of Arizona hat as the director of the Office of Multicultural Advancement, Division of Equity, Inclusion, and Title IX. Woof, that's a mouthful. Her free time, she dedicates to raising, along with her wonderful husband, Richard, her three children, Sophia, Leonardo, and Eric. She is currently the chairwoman of the board of directors at the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and was recently awarded the Rising Star Award at their Noche de Éxitos Gala. She is a 40 under 40, among many other awards and accolades that she has received. Welcome, Carla Bernal Morales, to Discovering Your Empowered Woman. Thank you for being here today, Carla.
Thank you for having me, Laura.
I'm so excited.
I am too. I think this is more of an interview, it's more of a conversation with one of my closest and dearest friends, if not my best friend in the whole wide world. So to me, this is just like any other day, and just having the ability to share with your listeners and everybody else, it's a pleasure and a privilege for me. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Ditto right back at you. Super, super excited that, because I know a little bit of your background and your story. I'm excited that, and I know that you're very generous with sharing your lessons learned and sharing with the public, with anybody who's willing to listen, because I know that you have, you know, learned from other women, and you've mentored other women, and you've been mentored by other women. So you're one of the women that I admire so much, because you're such a leader. You're so generous. So I want you to just, we're going to bare our hearts here and just kind of share, you know, a little bit of your vast history and leadership and just being a wholesome woman with our listeners today. So let's just start from the beginning. Tell me, what's your story, Carla? Who is Carla Bernal Morales?
Wow, how much time do we have? No, but I do want to start off by introducing myself. My name is Carla Bernal Morales, and I am an immigrant and a child of immigrants of Jesus Bernal and Catalina Lira. Proud sibling of both my brother Jesus Bernal and my sister Nubia Bernal Arvizu. And as you mentioned, I am very fortunate to have been selected to share the life with my amazing husband and raise our children, and had the pleasure of earning two great daughters along with my own. And so I start off by saying that, like I said earlier, I'm an immigrant. I came from Nogales, Sonora, Mexico, at a very young age, had some very challenging identity-defining moments as a young child, mostly focused on language, because in the time where I came into the United States, I had to learn the language. I wasn't learning really material or subject matter. I was learning how to speak and how to blend in and be immersed into this culture in the American world, right? And strive to succeed in the American dream that my parents sacrificed themselves and their lives and their comfort for us. And so even though through those challenges, I have learned so much that I think has developed the character and the person that I am today. I lived in Phoenix for about 5 years of my time here in the U.S. And then shortly in seventh grade, I came here to Tucson. And from the moment that I got to Tucson, I developed this this desire to give back to the community. And so my parents and I and our family would volunteer at a community center. And at probably 14 years old, we started volunteering our Saturday mornings and cooking breakfast for the elderly, cleaning the facilities, and creating an opportunity to develop that experience, that work experience, without actually having to work, which then, of course, provided me the drive to want to go look for a job. So at 14 years old, I got my first job making $2.25 an hour, which it sounds so funny to say now, but I'm very proud of that time in my life, because I was going to school full time. I was very much involved in student council, volleyball, basketball, everything that I could. And then also working. And I think at that time I was working because I really wanted to have a quinceañera. And I knew that my parents' resources were limited. So it kind of gave me more motivation. And so I had a great opportunity to kind of develop work experience and community engagement experience at a very young age, and develop the love of what impact does to the community, that positive community impact. And so as I went through the my academic years in high school, I started off at the U of A in the Summer New Start program, then transferred over to Pima College, and then had an untraditional academic career, and graduated in 2014, actually, from the University of Arizona, mm-hmm. and have been working there since. So there's a lot that has happened in between there, but I really wanted to focus on those moments that really defined me as a person, that really changed and shifted who I was and my way of thinking, and that really made me and drove me to be that community impact-driven individual.
And I think that's really important. I want to say that having known you for such a long time, I can attest that you are the epitome of the empowered woman that has gone through many challenges, lessons learned, and you empowered yourself. So you're the epitome of the woman that comes to the United States, the immigrant, and reaches their American dream. So, you know, congratulations on
Thank
that.
You.
You're really such a role model. You're a role model to me, because I have, you know, similar background that, you know, I also had to, as you know, I also had to learn the language and acculturate to, you know, a new culture and all of that good stuff that you just described. And, you know, and I appreciate that you shared that you very early on learned the value of hard work and working for what you want and working for your needs and wants, right? Because I know that you've also instilled that in your own children.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you for that. Those very kind words to calling me the epitome of the empowered woman. I appreciate that. And it always gives me the chills to hear that because I think one of the things that developed me into the woman that I am today is the leadership and the example that I gained from both my mother and my father. I think my father, you know, I many times mention the many struggles, whether it's with culture, with language, with identity, with socioeconomic status. We experience all of those. But the one thing that I think is foundational for me that my dad did a phenomenal job, and there's really no words that I could possibly gain to show him my appreciation, is the fact that he never allowed us to be victims. Never. It was always, you're a hard worker, you're intelligent, you can do this, you move forward.
Wow.
And that was what drove me. That belief that he had in me, that trust that I could do anything. And that was foundational to me. And I think that's what I try to do with my kids as well. And even when it gets hard, and even when you have life lessons that are hard, and they probably hurt me more as a parent than they hurt them, they're crucial because those are the things that develop their character and the things that are going to make them successful.
Wow, that is so paramount in just hearing that you never, you know, you learn from your parents not to let yourself be a victim. That is such an important lesson for us because it's so easy when life doesn't go right, it's so easy to fall back into that of why are things happening to me versus we can see it from a different perspective of things are happening for me.
Exactly.
Right? For me to get to where I need to be, for me to reach that dream, for me to, you know, to reach that goal that I have set for myself and for my loved ones.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. We are genuinely molding as we are growing through these experiences. We really are.
I love it. I love it. So, okay. So let's talk a little bit about your position at the University of Arizona, your leadership at the Office of Multicultural Advancement. You are a friend to all. You embrace all backgrounds. You are a person who loves all cultures, no matter the height, the width, the color, the, you know, the language. You are what I consider a citizen of the world. So why is the work that you do at this Office of Multicultural Advancement, why is this so important, especially in the current divided climate that we have?
Yeah, thank you so much for that question, because it is so important that we do have this conversation and have a very transparent conversation about the current climate, right? We are all experiencing a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of challenges with the current dividing views per se, but I think that is exactly the essence and the foundation of our office in the Office of Multicultural Advancement, that we are a very inclusive and equitable office, and in essence, a university it strives to be that. So, in my Office of Multicultural Advancement is an extension of that, where we do provide an opportunity to create that bridge, to have those conversations, that dialogue, where we can talk about the differences in opinions that we may have, but more so to understand where we're coming from, to create that dialogue where we are creating an environment of inclusivity, where just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean that I don't understand you or that I don't appreciate you. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's really creating an environment where it's okay for you to be uncomfortable with the uncomfortable.
Right.
It's very important for us to recognize that, one, we don't know it all, and we don't know exactly how everybody feels and the way they feel, but we do know that we're here as one, that we are together, that we are trying to really grow our community and create cultural competence and cultural citizens. And like you mentioned, I appreciate that, because that is in essence one of our missions, is to create global citizens. Mm-hmm. It's not just about who lives on the north side and who lives on the south side or who lives on the west or east side. It's about the different cultures that come along with that. It's not just about language, because when you think about culture, that embodies socioeconomic class, values, language, identity, even as far as sexual orientation, and really understanding each other and finding a way to create that dialogue so that we can respect each other and coexist, right, and really collaborate together to strengthen our community. That's in essence what we really want to do.
Right. That's really beautiful. And I love that you mentioned that, you know, even though they are sometimes uncomfortable conversations, it's really important that we have the conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think that discomfort that we have when we're talking with somebody who doesn't necessarily share our exact same, you know, culture, our exact same
experience,
mindset, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that discomfort, it just means that we're growing.
Exactly.
Right.
I am so glad you said that, because that is in essence what we provide. We provide the opportunity for connection, bridging, and overall subsequently that growth. Mm-hmm. The growth as an individual, the growth as a community, and the growth as global citizens.
And then the goal is to unite, right? And versus what's going on right now, which is division. I know that you guys have been really, really hard at work. Also, talk to us about your role as the chairwoman of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and in your many different leadership positions that you have. But I know particularly the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce has been pretty dear to me for the last few years, because I've been very involved. So talk to us about why is it important? Talk about your role with the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, and then also why is it important for a woman to step up and become a leader, whether she feels like she's ready or not?
Thank you. And I love that last part of that question, right? I think that, first of all, I got to thank you, because I think you were one of the I've had a lot of great friends with the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, but I think our friendship has really strengthened my connection with the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. And coming in as the chairwoman for the board of directors, it's genuinely a privilege and an honor for me. I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. My dad started his business at a very young age and really provided our entire source of income based on his entrepreneurship. And while I knew that my long-term goals, my life goals, were not associated with entrepreneurship, I saw the challenges and the struggles that small business owners go through. I saw that what happens when there's lack of education, lack of knowledge, lack of support and resources. So for me, being the chairwoman for the chamber, I think allows me to reach out and to connect to those small business owners and to let them know that you do have somebody that's going to support you.
So tell us what, before you go on to the second part of the question I asked you, tell us what a chairwoman does, so that whoever's listening, they have a good grasp of what.
So as a chairwoman, I lead the efforts for the board of directors. I support every single one of the committees that is involved within the board of directors. I also support and oversee the interim, and the president and CEO, which we currently have an interim in that position, and overall see generally the operations to make sure that we are, as a board, are providing the support that the chamber needs to move forward and be as efficient and be as productive for its members.
Wow. It's a lot of responsibility, but also how amazing that you can provide the leadership in the direction, you know, where the chamber goes to serve its members, because there's, you know, over 1,200 members that
exactly.
The Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce serves. That's wonderful. Okay, so tell us why, let me repeat that second question. Why do you think it's important for a woman? So which one comes first? You become empowered first and then you step up to be a leader, or how does that work? Because I think that sometimes we create images in our head and ideas in our head, and
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's very important that, that I give you my perspective and to express that I think every single one of us is different in the way we grow into the leadership role, into that empowerment feeling, right? For me, I'm a constant learner. I'm a lifelong learner. So for me, growing into this position, I'm not going to lie, it was a little scary. Mm-hmm. I questioned whether I could do it or not. Not so much the abilities, but I wanted to make sure that because it is so dear and near to my heart, I wanted to make sure that I was the best person. And as a lifelong learner, I'm always wondering, am I still going to be good enough? Am I still going to provide? And I have learned that, yes, the answer is most definitely. I am definitely good enough. I am strong enough. I am knowledgeable and experienced enough to provide that support to the board. But it's important for us to recognize that sometimes that fear, it's what I talked about earlier, that uncomfortableness, it's the opportunity for growth. So I think it's different for different people. For me, I can tell you that what came first was leadership, learning how to be a leader, learning how to guide smaller groups, medium-sized groups. And now for me, this is a big group because it's not just for me, not just the board of directors, but the entire membership base.
Yeah.
So I'm representing an entire community of business owners that impact so many different aspects of our society, of our Tucson, right? Whether it's the workforce that they provide, the programming that they develop for the support that they give to the K-12 areas, or the professionals that are going to be coming out of the universities that are going to be going into the workforce. So for me, I represent a very large group of people.
A vast group of people, right. Absolutely. So now, what programs, could you think back on programs that helped you become a leader? What programs did you participate in?
I can tell you, so I used to serve on some, back in the days, I used to serve in some programs, even with the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. Like, we now have the Young Entrepreneurs Program with the Tucson Chamber, Tucson Hispanic Chamber. Before that, I served on the YMCA board, mm-hmm. and I also served in the Better Business Bureau board, as well as some community service boards with the University of Arizona. All of those were super important for me to understand where I fit in and right. how comfortable I felt with giving my opinion and my input into certain programming and certain events that were going to be impacting the overall community. One that I think that stands out really, really significantly, it's an old program. Some people may remember and some people may not. It used to be the Care Fair. And this Care Fair initiated as just a group of people that wanted to provide services to the community. Well, it started off as a group of maybe 5-7 of us, mm-hmm. and it became a committee of about 35 businesses and about 20 nonprofits in the community.
Wow.
So the impact grew. So that yeah. really helped me grow.
So it's really a combination of you have to like go out there and take whatever courses are available or whatever fellowships are available to you, and then also just stepping up. Just go ahead and do it, right?
Right.
And I think that as you do it more and more, you get practice. Yeah, mm-hmm. you may put your foot in your mouth. Like I know I have plenty of times, right? But that's how you learn. So we're going to be running out of time here, but I don't want to leave without asking you if there's any words of wisdom that you want to share with our listeners, anybody who's listening who want to develop their leadership.
Thank you for saying that, because I really want to say this to people. One, and you mentioned it literally seconds ago, don't be scared to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Don't be scared of the failures. Those failures are the ones that strengthen you and develop you and mold you into the great leader that you're going to become. So please make mistakes, but make sure that you reach out to the people that are around you and use them as your resource. Grow, connect with everybody. Connect with me. Please reach out to me if you want some input, if you want some guidance. And second of all, keep in mind that everything that you do will benefit the next person listening to you. Mm. So always keep in mind that everybody's listening to the things that you're doing. And even if it's your mistake, we might learn from them. Mm-hmm. And even as you're an established leader, there will be mistakes that we make, and that's okay.
I love it. I love it. Carla, we've run out of time because this has been such a great conversation. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, for your generosity and sharing of yourself with others, with our community. How can they contact you? Can they follow you on social media?
Yes, I have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's Carla Morales, Carla Bernal Morales. You can also reach me via email, kmorales12@email.arizona.edu.
Wonderful. Thanks again. And thank you to all of you for listening to this show this morning. I want to thank our sponsor, Academy for Caregiving Excellence, who trains our essential healthcare workers, for the opportunity to be here today. You can visit them at academyforcaregiving.com. Thanks again for listening to us. Join us next week on Discovering Your Empowered Woman. I'm your host, Laura Oldacre. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time.